Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? In Philippi. For the gospel, they grab them, tie them. The Bible says they put them in the inner deep place. Chain them, leg, hand, down, and put a soldier to watch over them. People who were there busy preaching the gospel, God allowed them to be tied like that, to be maltreated like that. Were they in the perfect will of God? Yes. How do I know? Because at the end of that prison experience, see the testimony that followed. Amen. What was God achieving? Because the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, they began to worship. How many of you can worship God in that type of condition? You are there doing the will of God. You are doing your best to live a life pleasing before God. And yet, see the persecution you are receiving. So many of us, we doubt the existence of that God. And so many of you, from the text messages you sent to me, you tell me, do you say God still answers prayer? If he does, then why is my condition changing? They're not changing. Somebody who was sick sent me a text yesterday or the day before yesterday. He said, Pastor, when you pray for others, instantly, I watch it, it goes. The sickness goes, but this my own, you have prayed for me. It came back worse than before. He said, what is happening with my own case? Now, it's normal to ask those questions. Praise the Lord. Remember, we are called according to God's purpose. Amen. I know, as I looked at the story of Apostle Paul in the prison, two or three things I caught there. Why God sent Apostle Paul to the prison. Number one, hallelujah, was remember, when they were praising God, hallelujah, there was an earthquake. And the angel of the Lord came and broke those chains. Amen. Through that, the Philippian jailer gave his life to Christ. Do you know? So that man will be saved, God allowed Apostle Paul and Silas to enter that prison yard. Just for that one soul. Just for that one soul. Just for that one soul. You are just walking in the street. Rapid response called, stop. What? Come here. I'm a pastor. Shut up. You fake pastor. I say I'm a man of God. Shut up. See my Bible. Shut up. I'll be bright. Shut up. I'll be choosy. Shut up. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, these days, people don't say I'm a Christian. What do they say? I'm a choosy. I'm a bride. Don't worry. Choosy will come and save you. Amen. Hallelujah. A moment when you are in trouble. When you are in trouble. Which name do you call? Are you just saying it or you mean it? When you are in trouble, which name do you call? But I've heard different. I heard it in microphone. Anywhere you go, armed robbers stop you. Ritual killer stop you. Just tell them, I am a chosen. That's wrong. At the mention of the name of choosing, every knee must bow. It's wrong. I hope this microphone is loud outside. It's wrong. Stop that. That's idolatry in disguise. God does not share his glory with anybody. Stop that, bride assembly members. Stop saying, God or bride, God or bride. Don't you know his name? But I said, God of bride. Bah! Pastor Moses appeared. Devil want to turn you to an idolater and you don't know it. It was, if you say, God of bride, and Pastor Moses appeared. Bah! Now lie! It was not Pastor Moses that appeared. It's a demon that appeared. The devil want to turn you to an idolater. Very soon, you'll be hanging Pastor Moses' picture. At the mention of the name of Pastor Moses, every name of, and then why are you hugging it? A sinner saved by grace. I call his name. The kingdom of darkness shook. That he is who? That he is who? When I call the name of my pastor, thunder came and struck all of them. And you are thinking through. It is God. Now lie, oh! We are not unaware of the devices of Satan. We are wiser than that. Devil want to turn you to an idolater to make you worship a man. Then all those funny visions will come. Remember, he's a liar and a father of lies. Brethren, God has delivered us from that mumu worship. God has opened our eyes. Our eyes of understanding. He has opened up at last. And through Jubilee is our hope. We are chained down in the past. Through Jubilee is our hope. And we have responded to our God. Oh, who's original?
Everybody,
hallelujah.
The original.
Original Christianity.
The original sin. The original one. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is in the seven seals. Beyond them, the original life. The original sin.
Hallelujah. Please, I'm talking to Christians. If you are one of them, let me see your hand up. Thank you. You will never be an idolater in the name of Jesus. Don't you replace the name of Jesus with the name of anything on earth. Don't you ever, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your breakthrough, for your prayers, in time of emergency, don't you ever replace the name of Jesus with any other name. The devil will finish you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God will be angry with you. Don't do that. We are talking about the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul was in the prison to save that one soul. God can grab you like that on the street. He has his children inside one police cell somewhere. They need the gospel. And he can take you there. You didn't commit anything. You didn't do anything. Police just grab you, put you like that. Bah! And you woke up this morning and you had a voice that told you, today, wherever you go, I will be with you. Today, I'm going to use you mightily. And you are thinking, hey, today. And suddenly, police catch you. Ah, God, you say, and you are a foolish one will say, okay, I'm going to show you I'm a servant of God. I'm going to show you I'm a servant of God. Police, you people are doing your own too much. I'm going to show you. I know my God. I know what I had this morning. Hey, did you really hear? He said he's going to use you mightily. Did you tell you which area? That's the area. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. Because of one soul in the prison, he can send you to the prison yard. He, for doing nothing. And once you have fulfilled that assignment, he will release you. Hallelujah. Therefore, God's perfect will, I say, can be very awkward. It can be very awkward. It can be very, very awkward. Hallelujah. That's why he's a mysterious God. And all we are supposed to do is just submit yourself. Just play your own part. Do you know one of the reasons that Apostle Paul was sent to prison is because of you and me, so that he will teach us the power of praise. That's all. So that it will be recorded. That's all. To teach us. We see Paul and Silas, they prayed. After they prayed, they sang. The Holy Ghost came down. That is all you know concerning that song. You don't know what made them to praise God. in the darkest hour of their life, instead of them to cry, they were praising God. God kept that, like he kept the story of Job. For anybody here that will think my own is too much, your own don't reach Job on. Amen. Instead of you to, you know, your reaction will determine who we are. Apostle Paul and Silas, instead of them to be crying and be challenging God and be murmuring, they prayed, they sang. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. It means the type of song they sang, it was a type of song that was so loud. He was using that to teach us. While praising God, those chains got broken. Do you know? Hallelujah. I have confirmed it. Some sicknesses that I have prayed, they refuse to go. I will just begin to praise God. I will begin to worship God. Before I finish worshiping God, the nonsense will disappear. I have discovered moment of frustration that I turn left, turn right. I know this shouldn't be happening to me. Each time I begin to praise God, I'll just find peace and joy just sweep over me. I don't know how many people have experienced that. Am I saying, sharing the same experience with somebody here? There's power in praise. That's all he wanted to teach us. So as far as Apostle Paul was concerned, it was God's perfect will to be, for him to be in the prison. And do you know that Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, he said that we are built upon the foundation of the apostle. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There was a foundation that was supposed to be laid. Brethren, do you know that 3/4 of the New Testament was written by Apostle Paul? He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And there was need for him to put down certain things in writing. There are many more sermons that Apostle Paul preached that are not recorded because he didn't need to write them. All that you see in the Bible are letters he wrote while he was in the prison. God's own way of preserving the doctrines for us. He got them written down. While you be saying, hey, Apostle Paul, and you say, you preach not with enticing words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of power. Demonstrate power now and leave the prison yard. No. It's God's perfect will that he's there. And he was there for you and for me to have things recorded that after he is gone, we will still have the foundation upon which we shall build. Amen. It happens. I don't know what foundation God is using you to lay. Maybe for your family. Maybe for your children. Maybe for any aspect at all of your life. God can use you for it. I believe it with the whole of my heart. Even for your promotion. Joseph, example, Uncle. See what he went through. And every aspect of Joseph's story, it was the hand of God. I hope you know that. Yet everything there was negative. His brothers hated him. It was God that made the brothers to hate him. Because he is supposed to be a king. But that king, it will not be in the land of Israel, in Canaan land. It will be in Egypt. Praise the Lord. So he has to be rejected by his people. Amen. Unknown to you, all the problems somebody you are going through here is only pushing you further and further, nearer and nearer, to your destiny. No, go and ask Joseph. When they rejected him and sold him to the Ishmaelites, that was one step closer. Hallelujah. They sold him, the Ishmaelites sold him again to Potiphar as a slave. That was another one getting closer. When that false allegation by Potiphar's wife was laid against him for doing nothing, he was going now to the last bagger from there. Hey, I don't know what difficulty you are going through now. You say, I didn't do anything. No. You fasted for 7 days. Lord, change my condition. Change my situation. I need promotion. All of a sudden, your boss woke up one day and dismissed you. You say, hey, after 7 days fasting, Lord, is this what you will give me? What will I eat now? You are blind. It is God's perfect will. God's perfect will. Watch it. After your prayers, you begin to see some negative things happening. It can also be the hand of God upon you. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be promoted. If you read it in the book of Daniel, you know what happened there. Hallelujah. After that, you know they were made governors by the king. Hallelujah. After Daniel gave an interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar made a statue and commanded that everyone, oh blessed be the name of the Lord, that hears the sound of all those instruments, you must bow to the God of Nebuchadnezzar. The three Hebrew children said that is nonsense. They brought the report before Nebuchadnezzar. And before Nebuchadnezzar was talking, they said, don't even bother yourself. Don't bother, don't give us any condition. We will not bow before that image. No true Jew will bow before any image. No true bride member and elect will be an idolater. None. None. That is the difference between elect and others. There's something about us. Hallelujah. We are radical believers. Anything that will share glory with my God, you will kick it away. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what will they do? Hallelujah. They told the king, do whatever you like to do. Don't even think. Don't give us any condition. And if we know our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't deliver us, amen. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow to that image. Nebuchadnezzar said, what? Who are these? Let me show you I'm a king. He said they should make the fire burn 7 times hotter. Amen. And they tied those 3 children of Hebrew to confirm that fire was so hot. Those who tied them, as they got near the fire consumed them. God allowed that to happen so that you will know that it was real fire. Real fire. Why did God allow that to happen? He wanted to show Nebuchadnezzar that there is a God in heaven. That's all. Who will he use? He looked at 3 Hebrew children that were serving him faithfully. Just imagine that you are the one. You put so much confidence in God. You are sure that God will deliver you. You have made all the confession. You have done all your fasting. You are ready for the battle. And through, that God is standing there. They look them through. They think they go near fire. Near fire. You know, when they reach that, they will stop. See whether they will change their mind. They still threw them there. God allowed them to fall inside the fire. But his word must be fulfilled. Isaiah 43. He said, you will pass through the fire. It will not burn you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That fire became air conditioner. Every fire you are going through shall be air conditioner in the name of Jesus. And after that, they had promotion. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. They did the same thing with Daniel. The same experience the 3 Hebrew children went through. His own, they threw him to the den of lions. Hungry lions waiting to eat them up. Just because Daniel, hallelujah, will not bow to the God of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. What did he do? They threw him into the den. Hallelujah. Amen. While they were tying him, God was watching. Hallelujah. But all this, whether it is Daniel or the 3 Hebrew children, it was God's own way through which they will get their recognition. When God wants to glorify himself through you, he will pick you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God wants to have a reason to come hard on some wicked man somewhere, any witch, wizard, even the armed robbers, ritual killers, when their end, their cup, one nearly full, he will allow them to touch any of his children. The Bible says we are the apple of God's eyes. I'm telling you, anybody that plays around you is looking for trouble. And when God wants somebody's cup to be full, he will allow him to come your way so that he will have reason to hit hard on that person. They've been doing it with others. They've been going free. Now they are coming to his area. Yes. So that he will have reason to deal with them. God can let you come under their hand. Let you even go up to where the ritual killers operate. Reach there, you are waiting for your own turn to be killed. All of a sudden, something will happen. He can allow it to happen. And it has happened with some people in this church before. I've had that testimony before. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, I say, his perfect will can also be awkward. And when I say awkward, very, very awkward. Hallelujah. Trials, temptations, they are part of a Christian's life. It is God's perfect will. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, he said, we glory from verse 3 in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience will produce experience, and experience will give you hope. The training for you to be able to have faith to receive something from God, always, God will train you in patience. Patience. So there's a reason why other people came, they received their own chap. Your own. Since 5 years you have been in this church. Nothing yet. There's a reason. You have checked yourself. You know you shouldn't be in that condition. James chapter 1, the first two, three verses tells us also the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's true. Hallelujah. I say sometimes it can be so awkward. I was saying the other day, if you read Hosea chapter 1, God told his prophet to go and marry a prostitute. Just imagine that. And you are saying that, Hosea, why you go marry prostitute? The Lord say, so awkward. And there was a reason. It was a parable he wanted to speak to Israel. That prostitute gave birth to, is it two or three children? And three children, and each name was a prophecy to Israel. Each name, and every name they bear, it came to pass exactly like that in the land of Israel. Huh? Prophet, marry prostitute? Yes, God's perfect will. Praise the Lord. Samson, uncle. Amen. In Judges chapter 14, if you read it, Samson went and got interested in a Philistine girl. And it's an abomination for a Jew to go and marry a Philistine. But the Bible says, while his parents were arguing with him, they said, him to go to try to marry that girl. You know, they didn't marry. They did him 419, took this girl and gave somebody. And because of it, anger came on Samson and he destroyed over 1,000 Philistines. And God wanted him to destroy them. That's why he moved him to go after that girl. The Bible says so. So you are sitting there now. The father of Samson, you are fighting Samson. Samson, why? Samson is saying, nah, lie. If I don't marry that girl, papa, I lie, no marry. Not knowing it was God that was pushing him. The perfect will of God. It's true. Prophetically, he allowed that to happen. There's a brother in this church that had his daughter. He loved his church so much. I will not call the name of the church for very obvious reasons. He said, he named the name of his daughter the name of that church. Just like somebody saying, the name of my daughter is Bride Assembly. He loved the church so much. He just saw this enter message through that church. Shortly after, his daughter mysteriously like that died. The thing disturbed him so much. He was faithfully serving God. So much believed this message. The girl died. And shortly after that, he didn't know. It was later he realized certain things began to happen. The overseer of that church decided to go and be the Eze of his village. Shortly after that, the overseer began to answer Reverend. Shortly after that, the overseer began to be involved in very scandalous things all around. It was then he understood that God was telling him that church is dead. And that is how he left that church. You mean just for God to tell him that that church is dead, he will take the life of his precious daughter? Yes, that is God's perfect will. After that, he gave him a very wonderful one. Praise the Lord. Like he gave Job. Gave him 7 more beautiful, wonderful children than those renegade ones he used to have before. That is the will of God. He, God, can make it like that. I keep saying that you are wondering now. You are so old. You are 40 something years old now. And up to now every day, God keeps showing you, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance. Is it possible? I'm entering my menopause now. Go and find out. It has happened also to Hannah. It has happened to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's own is most pathetic. We are called according to God's purpose. Can I just say this and close? We are called according to God's purpose. What is God's purpose in your life? Do you know God's purpose in Elizabeth? Isaiah, over 700 years back, prophesied that a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a child. Hallelujah. Did Jesus Christ know who that virgin will be? I mean, did God know who that virgin will be? Eh? Did he know it will be Mary? Eh? But there was also another prophecy that he will send his messenger to prepare the way concerning John. And according to John's prophecy, according to God's foreknowledge, hallelujah, John is destined to be only 6 months older than Jesus. And God has decided that it will be Elizabeth that John will come forth. I don't know Elizabeth sitting out here. Imagine Elizabeth. Just because God said, no other picking will come out of that womb, I have prepared this womb of Elizabeth for John. And this John will be 6 months older than Jesus. And this Jesus is destined to come out through Mary. And here is Mary, still this small. Elizabeth don't reach age to born. You don't stay for her husband house. And Mary, still they go primary school. God has destined it is Mary that will give forth to Jesus, birth to Jesus. And here is Mary. She's still going to primary school. They never meet Joseph yet. And here is Elizabeth. Oh Lord, I need a child. I need a child. And God cannot give Elizabeth that picking until Mary don't meet Joseph. Hey. Ah, we cannot enter that type of will of God. We cannot enter that type of will of God. Ah, just like when I read the story of Job, I say, Lord, we can never go that side. I know you didn't call me like Job. I know you didn't call me like Job. I know somebody say, I know you didn't call me like Sarah. You didn't call me like Sarah. Hallelujah. But it's not you choosing. Whether you like it or not, that is how God had determined. Elizabeth herself, together with her husband, they had forgotten. No more hope for picking. But at the appointed time. Tell your neighbor at the appointed time. Tell 3 people around you at the appointed time. There is an appointed time. Tell 3 people around you. It's true. Hallelujah. And he who laughs last. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And truly, God can refuse your prayer and allow that sick person to die, and it will be God's perfect will. How do I know? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you read from verse 7, Apostle Paul spoke about the thorn in his flesh. He said three times he went before the Lord to remove that thorn from his flesh. And God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Lest out of the abundance of the revelations I've given you, you should blow yourself. God, hallelujah, watch it. Everybody, every man, every woman that God uses mightily, there is always one negative comma around him. Think, look back to history. Anybody, it is either he will not allow you to go to school, you'll be illiterate, or he will give you one kind of horrible wife, or give you one horrible husband, or give you children that will pepper you, your children. It happens. Apostle Paul, on his way to Damascus, that light that struck him in the eye, it gave him problem in the eye. Such that Apostle Paul, many of the letters he wrote, he was dictating it to somebody to write. He was always having problem with that eye. But Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1 to 6, he will tell you about a man that was caught up in the third heavens. The things that he saw. He said he doesn't know whether it's in the flesh or out of the flesh. He mentioned the abundance of revelation that God gave him. Of all the apostles of Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul was the most revelated in the deep things that pertained to salvation. He said, so that he will not puff up. That's why God gave him that handkerchief from his pocket. When they turned it out, miracles were taking place. Why the handkerchief not fit do miracle for your own eye? So that you will know it is not you using yourself, it is God using you. So that you always remember you're a human being. It happens. That's why I say the will of God sometimes can be terribly awkward. Yes, you can imagine that the only thing that will solve Timothy's stomach problem was alcohol. Can you imagine a holiness preacher sitting down with a beer, with alcohol to take anytime his belly starts? Why can't God heal that stomach problem? And he was working closely with Apostle Paul, who had a mighty healing gift. Why couldn't God take away that problem out of Timothy's stomach? God place it there for a purpose. Hallelujah. Finally, how do you know? How do I identify whether what is happening to me is God's perfect will, or it is devil that is just tormenting me, or I am paying for my sins or for my ignorance? Number one, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you pray, concerning that matter, and the more you pray, the more the thing increase. It means God's hand is in it. In fact, I won't even add another one. That is enough. If you pray, you go to mountain. I learned a brother, Pastor Thomas, was telling me this morning, you know, when you walk out of the will of God, you become a wandering star. So many people, God brought them to this church. But they, instead of them to wait to find out, what did God bring them here for? Flimsy excuses, they will jump out. And I have looked around, one by one, none of these people that left here, I say it again, none of them has been settled ministry-wise. None. I was looking at some of them that left here. How can somebody, you were associate pastor in this church for 9 years. 9 years. If truly you had a calling, about four or five ministers that were here, the left ear together with you, they follow you, they go. If you had a ministry, because if you have a ministry, God can also cause trouble to come to push you out so that you can go and start a fellowship. But none of them, none, I repeat, none, none, all of them, today, they are in Bajulai Shomolu. Tomorrow, they are in the Kejani for Ocean. Next tomorrow, they are here. The question is, why did you leave Bride Assembly? And each time you leave where God has placed you, you are in trouble. You never find peace. You never find God's resting place. No resting place in your life. Nothing. You ask them, hey, then they do like this, then they do like this, then they do like this. Hey, if we know they do it well for Bride Assembly, go and start now and do it so that we shall come and learn it from you now. Nothing. Now, when you begin to see your life like that, now that is not God's doing it too. You are the one and doing it and causing problem for yourself and your family. And this, some of these people are married with very sincere, honest wives. But because, for better, for worse, if they say go to Shomolu, now there they go now. Where you go to your husband? No, it take me go one church for Shomolu. Now we follow go. Of course, you won't make the man turn face him. No, it's wrong. I told somebody, I said, if you drive me from Bride Assembly today, another fellowship will start tomorrow somewhere. I can't help. I'm a preacher. I'll preach. Nothing will stop me to preach this gospel until death or Jesus Christ comes. Nothing. Nothing. Because the call, the passion to preach this gospel is in me. And that is evidence of God's call. Why I'm saying so? Brethren, be sure you're in the perfect will of God. And if you are sure you're in the perfect will of God, nothing moves you. Nothing. If anything happens, you know who is with you. Greater is he that is in me. I know God that called me will not leave me alone. I know it. But if you call yourself, he will leave you alone. No. If you call yourself, you have nobody to cry to. It's true. God will help us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm believing God that after today, you will so find your position. And what is the evidence that you have found your position? Number one, jealousy gets out of you. Because how can hand be jealous of leg? You do your own, and they do my own. You can't take my position, I can't take your position. Therefore, envy will not be there. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, I am not a politician. I'm a Christian. The truth is, if I see God using anybody, hallelujah, I admire you. I don't envy you. And anything I can do to encourage you, I make myself available to encourage you. I have been doing this right long before this ministry started. Anybody I see the grace of God upon you, I admire you. I admire you. Hallelujah. I used to joke with these people here. I tell them, I say, I came to Bride Assembly before you. How come you don't come now overtake me in the prophetic anointing? No, it's true, Madeke. You know where you did, the time where you are here. They fast, they pray. Sunday, that coordinator you be before. Samuel, you know what you carry, you come here. praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Godwin, you were area boy. You know, when we were here. No, that's the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, it's true. It's true. Now the tendency is for me to say, all of you sit down. Where you call yesterday? No. What I do is say, amen. It simply means they can do it better That is why God didn't give me, and he gave it to them. And if I want to be blessed, I should just encourage them. That's all. Nothing more. Not to envy them. Oh, it is because you have not understood the body of Christ. You haven't. You haven't understood the body of Christ. That's why you still envy one another. A prophet is flying. Another prophet will be wishing him. So you say, Nala, the time we prayer ago, he was going around the congregation. He goes see his name for him, Bible. And he can talk. I don't talk. Am I there? And if you talk like that, what do you want to achieve? Jealousy. What does he add to you? Nothing. If anything at all, it kills you. It destroys you because, hallelujah, the more you look down on the grace of God somewhere, the more the grace of God in your life goes down. People don't know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's wrong. And the reason, of course, is because of the attendant benefit. Eh? As they rise now, my customers will reduce. They'll soon go to you. Eh? I want to be the lone shining star. Only me will shine. So anytime they come here, they are asking of prophet. They say, Prophet Moses. Everybody, Prophet Moses. So when we close like this, as in they follow me, my head they big. Not only me. You see all of them, they follow me. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Can we stand up? Thank you for listening. But let me see you try to remain in God's perfect will. It will help you in your Christian life. See, I live a peaceful ministry life. Very, very peaceful ministry life. Very, very, very peaceful ministry life. That is the truth. God of heaven knows, I envy no one. I'm jealous of no one. I hold no one. For what? And I used to say, every true father will always desire that his children will be better than him. That's the truth. Hallelujah. So it pleases me. If you want to kill me, then begin to act carnally, because people are waiting to laugh at me. See the people you say are your ministers. See them. You are killing me with that bad report. But I feel very proud when somebody stands here and testifies, and I met also sister, and she prayed, and it came to pass. I met also brother, and he prayed, and it came to pass. I get very proud. I would say, who is the person? Where did the person receive that anointing? In this ministry? Oh, praise God. I get happy. Why not have the same spirit? If it is the same Holy Ghost we have. If it is the same Holy Ghost we have, remove envy. Remove emulation. Remove competition. And God will bless you in the name of Jesus. Whatever trial you are going through, the Lord will see you through. Everything that has a beginning, there is an end. The Bible said they didn't know that it was God that was moving.